In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Times like this haven't been seen since the time of Christ. I mean, these are the times that you could have wished you could have been born into. You're here. This is where it's all at. Now, the big reformation back about 500 years ago was to open the Bible. Now, no sooner than it got open and they closed it up again. We're opening the Bible again, and it's our job to keep it from being closed. And we'll get more lies and more misinformation than you can shake a stick at. That's the way it's supposed to be. The wolves are telling the flock one thing. The Bible is telling them something else. Now, downstairs, I got a list of censored Bible teachings. It's a thing that probably y'all all got last year. I just put a new name to it, censored Bible teachings. But it's just real important because most of these things are not taught in the Bible. If they're in the Bible, they ought to be taught. The Bible has to fit together just like this. And you don't violate one part by talking about another. So it's really important for us to be able to respond to these people who are asking questions, and they're asking questions now because the flocks are being torn apart by the wolves. I've also got this Hoskins newsletter. I don't advertise it, and there's no way for me to increase its membership or readership or subscribers, except people, if you tell somebody else. It's only $15 for 10 months, and it just doesn't leave enough money after printing costs and all those things to advertise it. So it just doesn't get advertised, and it doesn't get distributed and doesn't get read unless you do it, see? So I just like to mention that. I've got a list down there. If you want a subscription, it's $15. And you might want to put somebody else on it. If you think it's advantageous and would help. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The laws, statutes, and judgments. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In my studies of the ancient books, Jasher, Adam and Eve, the others, and the inference throughout the Bible, to violate the law of God is to commit blasphemy against the person of God. It's a very serious matter. Because if that is done, then God will do these things to you for allowing such things to happen. Now, that is the scenario we're working under. The scriptures refer to us as the sheep of his pasture. We are his sheep. The scriptures refer to the wolves. In the scriptures, nothing is done lightly. The wolves eat sheep. That's what they do. In order to eat sheep, the wolves must gain entry into the sheepfold. If you run all of the wolves out of the sheepfold, they will obediently try to do what? Get back in. Because if they cannot get into the sheepfold, they cannot eat sheep. And that's what they do. Wolves eat sheep. And sheep try to keep from being eaten by wolves. And I'll state again, we don't hate wolves. There is no anti-wolfism in this whole audience. We merely don't want to be eaten. Now, there are several ways, traditional ways, the wolves seek entry into the sheepfold. The way they used to do it is get them all together, all the wolf packs together, like a great big football team, and charge ahead, you know? It's just like the Yellow Pearl, or Great Invasion of Attila the Hun, or Genghis Khan and his hordes, and all that stuff. Well, that we can understand, you see, because you see a whole flock of wolves coming over the hill howling after your blood, you know, right away that you got a problem, and it's not very, long before it's going to be right in your lap. So it's not a question of what to do. The question is try to keep from being eaten as fast as you can. Now, the second way they do, it costs lives to do that. It's only when they've got overwhelming strength that they will ever try something like that. Usually, a wolf will not come right on into a moose or an elk. He will come in and attract the attention of the elk while another wolf of the pack comes in from behind. Because if the wolf is hurt, what happens to him? The other wolves will kill him. Now, who is the greatest enemy of wolves? Wolves. Now, that's real important for us to know. Because all the time we think we got problems, we don't know what problems really are. A wolf is always looking over his shoulder. Now, they'll get together on the elk, you see. And once the elk is pulled down, then the alpha wolf will eat, and everybody stands around. And after that, you ought to see the squabble that's going on. But that's part of the game. That's what wolves do. The second way to get into the wolf hole is to bribe the king. That's what they did to Oliver Cromwell. That's what they have done to our various presidents. It is easy to do if you know how. It saves a lot of bloodshed. Another way, and the usual way, is to disguise yourself. Take your turban off, cut your long locks off, shave, take a bath, put on aftershave lotion, learn some English, you see, and walk through and say you're a sheep. Now, there are dumb sheep all around who will take that, you see, because sheep are kings and they're priests and they got this little plot of ground, and unless somebody disturbs them in their little backyard, live and let live, you see. Now, that's the nature of sheep. The sheep are peaceful, and they don't do anything that their shepherd doesn't tell them to do. Now, if the shepherds give them false signals, They don't know anything other than to sit still and to tend their little plot of ground. And they ignore these strange people wandering back and forth on the streets. Another way a wolf enters the sheepfold is magic. Now, this is important. This is important. A wolf will become, by magic, a sheep. Now, for 1,000 generations, sheep have killed murderers, rapists, kidnappers, like breeds like. It's virtually impossible for a sheep to consider premeditated murder or to reach in somebody's back pocket or to kidnap somebody and hold them for ransom. For 1,000 generations, wolves have been trained to kill, to pull down, to loot, to kidnap, to murder. Like breeds like. And suddenly, the witch doctors are going to take a wolf and say magic words over him and convert him into a sheep and give him a certificate that he can wave around and go into any sheep organization anywhere freely. And it's done. We were all members of the Catholic Church at one time. The Catholic Church has had wolves as popes. The Catholic Church had a problem. I'm going to talk about Goths. G-O-T-H-S. Now, we know about Gothic architecture and Gothic literature and all that whoop-de-doo, see? What it means is Goth, gods. God's people. My people will bear my name. Gut, good, comes from Goth. God's people. God, it comes from Goth. We are all here descended from Goths. Now, we're going to get to that in a minute. But those people conquered Spain. And then they were pushed into the northwest corner of Spain when the Arabs came storming through. And then the Arabs ruled down there for almost half a thousand years. They were down there a long time. But the Goths gradually drove them out. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. They left wolves behind them. And many of the Arabs surrendered. Now, they were short of workers because there's never been a whole lot of Goths around. They were short of workers to work the fields, to tend the vineyards, and everything. So what do you do with the wolves that are left who say they are surrendered? Well, they got the message that they were going to convert them into sheep. So they did. They converted them into sheep. They said the magic words, and overnight, they became Christians. Both the Arabs and the Jews. And a couple of centuries went by. Centuries. Long after the people had made that decision, who were responsible for the decision, were dead and gone, we've got, overnight, they found out that the wolves that said they were Christian, that went to church every Sunday, were actually going to their own religious ritual groups, that they had their own organizations, that they were a state within the state. They were called Marranos. And then they were kicked out. Right after that, there were all of Spain went up in flames. The Moresco revolts. The Arab wolves revolted and killed to kill every Christian around. And it couldn't happen. How do you take a wolf and make a sheep out of it? A wolf is a wolf, and a sheep is a sheep. Go not unto the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to them only. And if you go anywhere else, it is going to cause problems. Don't throw pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you. They will learn. They study us. We are They study us as closely as a farmer studies the lineage of a cow. He will know the lineage of a cow back, a horse back for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 generations. And he won't even know who his own grandfather is. But he'll know about his cows, and he'll know about his horses, because that's what a farmer does. He eats cows, see? He pays it. The wolves eat sheep. They know all about the sheep. They know where they come from, what they do, how much money they've got, what business they are in. They know about his laws. They go and study his laws to find out what the sheep can do and cannot do. They know all about the sheep. That's what they do, see? Now, just picture this. You see this great meadow out here? This great valley that we look at? Just picture, just covered with sheep. Flocks here, flocks there, little groups over here, little groups over there. And let's just picture that somehow or another the wolves have gotten through. And there, instead of having the shepherds herd the sheep, we got wolves herding the sheep. On every hilltop, you got a sentinel looking down. And every little group of sheep, you got a wolf in there. The wolves are keeping track of what the sheep are doing. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do, right? Would it be any other way? Can you imagine a group like this without one wolf in it? I mean, really, it's not logical. It's not sensible. All right. Now, the wolf howl, you see, the howl of the wolf goes over this valley. Ooh, from one side to the other side. They're always communicating backwards and forwards. Now, you've got little groups of this pack over here controls this group of sheep. This whole pack over here controls this group of sheep. And this pack over here controls that group of sheep. And all of a sudden, you'll find a wolf floating around in the Atlantic Ocean, you see. Robert Maxwell, you know, he would own all the wolf howls, 2,000 wolf howls around. He's floating around. He got on somebody's nerves, you see. Who kills most wolves? Other wolves. So there's scraps and things going on all the time that we are not aware of. But that doesn't mean that they're not happening. Now, what happens if the wolves tell a sheep to do something and the sheep won't do it? Now, you see, that causes a problem right there, see? Suppose the sheep have one set of laws and the wolf policy states they're to do something else. Now, the law of the sheep says the land is to be divided and never, ever to be sold. That's what the law says, see? And suppose the wolves come out and try to take a sheep's property and the sheep won't get off of it. Well, you can't let a sheep do that, because what would happen to if all the sheep did that? That would create a problem. And what would happen if that sheep, name of that sheep was Kirk? Arthur Kirk. You see, now, what would happen is they would send a pack in there. Now, this is not an ordinary pack. This is a janissary pack. A janissary pack. A janissary. Think of the name, a woman's name named Jan. A janissary pack. I want you to remember that, because we're going to have to deal with janissaries here. We deal with them every day. We might as well put a name to them. All right. They come up there. They call him out. Call him bad names. He comes storming at the front door. Blah, 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 and it's all over, see? And the wolf howl says another radical... the things they call us, you see, that they call rebellious sheep. Or suppose, now what does it say, what does the law, sheep law say about taxation? If the land is to be divided, never ought to be sold. And the law says it can't be taxed, why can't it be taxed? Because if it is taxed, it is not owned. If you miss one tax payment, what happens to the land? They got it and gone, see? So therefore, any land, if you pay taxes on your land, you don't own it. That is in violation of the law, see? Now, don't get me wrong. I pay my taxes, see? I am yellow. Look here. See this yellow stripe? I got a yellow stripe down my back that wide. I overpay my taxes. I've got an accountant who tells me how much taxes I got to pay, and I add some to it, see? Because I am cowardly as can be. It doesn't make any difference, I found out. They're still going to find something wrong you're doing. But I do the very best I can not to attract the attention of these people on the hills that are supervising, you know? However, we have a sheep who will not pay taxes. Now that causes problems because nobody likes to pay taxes. Nobody. The wolves encouraged him to go out in the country, and he was ambushed out in the country, and they killed him. And it was supposed to have been hushed up. But in spite of what the wolf howl says, some of the kings and priests told people that that was wrong, that this guy, this sheep named Carl, was really obeying the law by not paying taxes. Now, the wolves say he was breaking the law by not paying taxes and was an outlaw. But the message is about among the flocks that, hey, this guy was killed for obeying the law. Now, that is not exactly right. Then we get a case in hand where there is a false witness. They claim that this sheep did something that he didn't do. Not only that, that a forbidden holding, a forbidden instrument, was in his possession when it was actually placed in his possession unknowingly. At least that's the story. Now that is called a false witness, which is unlawful. Now the wolves say the mere fact that he's got it is unlawful. He says that they lied about the whole thing and he's not going to play their game, and he goes away where the wolves can't get it. Everybody's going to leave him alone. He's quit. The wolves cannot allow anybody to go off and form their own country, form their own asylum. A Robin Hood is the last thing you need in the Sherwood Forest. So they send a wolf pack up there to pull him out, to do a call job on him or to do a cut job on him. And this wolf, he bears his fangs. Well, this sheep, he bears his head, and he's got horns on him, and fall. But the wolves managed to do something that's forbidden. They did something unfair. They killed a kid, a little baby sheep. Now, women and children first on shanking ships. We always look after the women and children. The sheep do that. Wolves don't. The wolves are the first in the lifeboats. If you don't believe it, read the news articles. And remember that Greek ship that went down? And the passengers accused the crew of jumping into the lifeboats first and leaving them on the ship? That's the way wolves are. The Titanic went down, and the crew, practically all the crew, went down with it. And those that were saved were women and children. The men died, and the crew died. It's a difference between a sheep ship. Oh, boy. And a wolf ship. Now, the wolves have got the sheep cornered on top of this mountain. They killed one of the kids. And it's blacked out. It's only been just yesterday that parts of the country have heard about it. The wolf howl has stopped. In this part, they've heard about it. Right where it's happened, out in the northwest, we've heard about it. In other parts of the east and the south, they haven't heard anything about it. The wolf howl has been blacked out. Why? It could stampede the wolf or the sheep. What would happen if the sheep out here in this meadow, this great big valley, would get the smell of wolf, smell of blood, a sheep stampede? Good golly gee, the wolves got problems. They got other wolves. They don't need the sheep causing problems. So they've stopped dead to see what's going to happen, you see? Everything is on hold right now. And they're waiting to see how restless the sheep are. We're trying to stir the sheep up, see, to do something. And they're trying to keep the sheep doing, see? And as soon as the sheep go back to sleep, and there's no Robin Hood and there's no Sherwood Forest to run to. That's the way the wolves manage the sheep. Now, janissaries, I'm having to take shortcuts now because I got a sneaking suspicion I'm not really going to get through this story, you know, all the way to the end. So I'm going to have to start hitting things that I consider right important. And this janissary deal is one of the important things. We had a group of Turks called Ottoman Turks. And they were powerful, and they were smart, and they're skillful. Don't ever talk the wolves down. That's dumb. Wolves are magnificent animals. They are strong, they're muscular. One time out there in Arkansas, now I had a dog one time. He was a German Shepherd. I used to hunt people in the army. I know something about animals. I know something about dogs. I know something about tracking. And I saw a coyote, and that's a wolf. It's a different kind of wolf, small kind of wolf. I saw a coyote, and my dog was up there with me, and he wanted that coyote. Oh, he wanted it. And I said, all right. I said, okay, go ahead and get it, see? Well, then I started thinking. I said, maybe that's not such a good idea, because I took a good look at that coyote. And that coyote was nothing but wire and steel. My dog was good. He weighed 110 pounds, and he was tough. But he was a dog, and that was a wolf. And if my dog tied into that wolf, he'd probably kill him, but my dog would sure be in tatters before it was over with. So I called my dog off. Don't you ever sell a wolf short. And just because they're not up there in the front lines with you, doesn't mean they're cowards. It means they don't want to get hurt. And to a wolf, that's very important, because a wolf, if he's hurt, is going to get killed by other wolves. I have seen these wolves play football and just about knock my brains out. I've met them in a ring, and they've knocked me around all over the ring. And they, a lot of things they were, but they weren't yellow. So don't ever get the idea they're yellow. A wolf is a wolf. He is what he is. Now, the wolves have a problem with wolves. It seems that to hold this empire together, the Sultan, who was running things in Turkey by this time, he had conquered all of Turkey, he was having a whole lot of problems with all these other wolves that he called up to fight for him. They'd be fighting among themselves. They'd be cutting each other's throats. By George, just about the time he was ready to take off and invade somebody, they were off in a squabbling this and squabbling that. So what he did was this. He went out and took, by force, Christian children and converted them to Islam and trained them to be janissaries. Warriors for Islam. And a more dedicated group of warriors there never was for the Ottoman Empire than the janissaries. They had the discipline that came with being part sheep and with only a touch of wolf. They had all the ritual of Islam, their jihad. That's the sixth ritual the holy war, kill all unbelievers. 20 to 40,000 of those disciplined men, they were not allowed to marry. You will find among most of these type of groups, it's based on inheritance. They allowed these people to have money, have women, they could have wealth, they could do just about anything. They couldn't get drunk because Mohammedans, you know, they're down on that. But they could do anything else they wanted to do, but they couldn't have children so that the property could be inherited, see. It all went to the organization, the Janissary organization. And the Janissary organization became big. It became powerful. We've had groups like that before. Remember the Templars? The Templars weren't allowed to marry. They gave everything they had to the Templar organization when they entered. They were priests. They thought they were going to die in fighting the infidel. And most of them did, see? The organization was terribly wealthy. The Templar organization, what happened to it? Of course, they came down on it and killed and ruined all the temples. Well, you've read about it in the book, so I won't go about it. The Janissaries, they furnished the governors. They furnished the police. They had their allegiance. They were on salary. They held their allegiance to the Sultan. And the Sultan ran the rest of the wolf packs with his Janissaries, Christians converted to Islam, Janissary. In Egypt, they did the same thing. They had a group called the, think of a girl's name, Mame, you know, you've seen the Hollywood thing, Mame, and think of a guy named Luke, see, they call them Mamelukes. That's what the name was. They did the same thing in Egypt as the Janissaries did in the Ottoman Empire. They were a power. What happened to the Indians around the Great Lakes who captured all the Christian children and raised them as Janissaries, as Indians, converted them? We know who Lew Wetzel was, but we've got a group of renegades out there who were worse than anything the Indians ever had because they were disciplined. It came through their inheritance. Not undisciplined like a wolf. They were disciplined. Our people, the sheep, once they turn to war, they turn with a wholehearted vision for the one thing, the destruction of the enemy. And suppose the enemy can twist that against the sheep. Well, you have a fearsome thing, and that's what they've done. They have their Janissaries. Now, who are their Janissaries? Now, we know, I've just told you about the Janissaries of the Ottoman Empire, the Mamelukes. The Mamelukes were so, they were slaves, but they were slaves of Islam. They were wealthy slaves. They ran the Empire of Egypt. These slaves were the sultans. They ran the government. They ran everything. They were so strong that when the Mongols came, they almost wiped them out. Now that's what a Janissary is. The Janissaries in our midst are the Judeo-Christians. They are given, they are paid, highly paid. They are given as payment access to the wolf hell. If they do not support the wolves, they are not given access to the wolf hell. And they remain poor. Those who do what they're told to do and operate to support the wolves are wealthy and in jail, but wealthy. But getting caught and going to jail is part of it, you know. Another thing is the king. Wherever you have a king, wherever you have a powerful ruler, He's probably a janissary. Because who are the kings and priests? You are. The sheep are. Kings and priests. In the old days, we didn't even have a standing army of janissaries. We had militia armies. The war between the states and the South was fought by volunteers and militia groups. Who organized the militia groups? The counties, the local groups. The city of Lynchburg sent out two batteries and a regiment. The Campbell County sent out a regiment. Amherst County sent out a regiment. They all volunteered. All of us volunteered. They furnished their own guns, their own ammunition. They did it all themselves. The Union Army had a few volunteers. They had a few militia, but most of them were janissaries. They had to be hired and forced into a national army. Wherever you have a national army and not a volunteer army, you're dealing with janissaries. Wherever you're dealing with a king who sets himself over other people as being bigger, better, and more powerful, you're dealing probably with a janissary. The wolf hell is found. The wolves don't stand in front of a television set. They put the janissaries right there. The publishing companies, the media, the editorial writers, all janissaries. They're paid a salary. They write what they're told to write. If they don't write what they're told to write, they get fired. If you write what you're not supposed to write, you get fired too. But that's part of the game. Sheep are not supposed to do that. All right, now let's go on one step further. What they tried to do, the wolves always tried to do, is replace the sheep's shepherd. They have to do that. Because our shepherd has given us laws, statutes, and judgments that he expects us to follow. The wolves don't like that. And so they do this. Right now, there are three claimants to the title Israel. Now, who claims to be Israel? Well, of course, we know that the church claims to be Israel. And we know that the Jews claim to be Israel. And strangely enough, we claim to be Israel. Well, now, we got three people. We got three claimants. We got the church. Jews, and we've got us. All right, now, if that is so, we have to go to the Word to find out who really is Israel. Well, we have what's called the three proofs of Israel. Now, that's number five right here on this sense of Bible teachings. Now, you ought to have this right on the top of your tongue. All of Israel bears the three proofs of Israel. They bear God's name, they bear Isaac's name, and they are of Adamic descent. Now, does the church bear God's name? Yep, sure does. Does the church bear Isaac's name? No, it doesn't. Is the church of Adamic descent? Well, you know, you got to twist things all around. How do you sire a church, you know? How do you get a bloodline? I don't recall in Genesis where God took a bunch of bricks and mortar and, you know, and called it man, you see? So we get real hang-ups real fast. So most of us would reject the church's claim to being Israel. Second, the Jews claim to be Israel. They don't bear God's name. They don't bear Isaac's name. And most of them are not of Adamic descent. Then we claim to be Israel. We bear God's name, Christian. We bear Isaac's name, Isaacsons, Saxons. And we are of Adamic descent. Now, why is this important? Why all this hoop to do? Now, remember I told you, a farmer studies his animals. That's his thing. That's what he does. He studies his animal. The wolf studies the sheep. They know more about the scriptures than we do. Don't kid yourself. They know the scriptures. I've talked to some of them, and they are highly educated. I mean, you might know some things they don't know. But boy, they're anxious to learn right fast so they can refute it. All right. The law states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word states that the Word was given to Israel and to Israel only. In other words, whoever is Israel has the Word. And what is the Word? The Word is God. So therefore, the church claims to be Israel. So they got God, see? So they can own all the property and have monopolies. But they are God. And they're not beholden to you or me or anybody else. The church can do anything it wants to do because they've got the Word. They are Israel. They are God. They've got God right there in their hands. Now, the Jews claim to be Israel. If they are Israel, it means they have the Word, because the scriptures say that Israel has the Word. If they have the Word, if the Jews are Israel, they will interpret the Word for us. If we are Israel, it means that the laws, I will place my laws in your heart, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. How many of you have gotten sick of one church and have gone to two? Let's see some hands. Huh? Two churches, huh? Okay, let's see how many gotten sick of two churches and gone to three. You see? Or how many got sick of three churches and gone to four? How many got sick of four churches and gone to... See what I mean? Who are the kings and priests? The ones who bear the proofs of Israel. The law was given to Israel. I will place my law in your hearts. I will be your king, and you will be my people. It's extremely important. The three claimants, the church, the Jews, and you. Oh, good Lord. 10 minutes. So what I have told you is a real gem, right? It's a real jewel. Now, how do we spell gem? G-I-M, gem, right? Yes, G, God, I, Israel, and M, man, the three proofs of Israel. Now, I have given you a real gem. And when someone asks how you know that you are Israel, you say, I've got a gem. Now, how do you spell gem? G-I-M. And it's no excuse for you not to have the answer on the tip of your tongue, right? The wolves are wolves. They are what they are because of 1,000 generations of breeding. They are killers. They are hunters. They capture prey. They take. The sheep produce, they make, they repair, they are peaceful. A wolf is not adapted by nature to be a good governor. They leave an ever-loving mess wherever they go as rulers. It is very bad oftentimes when the wolves break through in a mass and capture sheep. In Australia, they got this little creature that's part dog and part wolf. Now, that's not correct. Please make allowances for my ignorance, because I don't know what it really is. But it's called a dingo. It's a predator. It's the closest thing to a wolf they got over there. and it eats sheep. And that's what it does. They got lots of sheep over in Australia. And a dingo will pull down a sheep. But you get a pack of dingoes who pull down a sheep, and they will pull down the second sheep, and a third sheep, and a fourth sheep, and they'll pull down 500 or 1,000 sheep at a time. When dingoes, a pack of dingoes, get into a flock of sheep, the bloodlust comes out, and they kill sheep. In 1917, there was a great revolution in Russia. One group of wolves united with another group of wolves, and the sheep that had ruled there for over 1,000 years up and down the rivers, these people who are called Goths that we're going to get to, and I haven't gotten to yet, they went into a killing frenzy, and they killed 35 million of them. When they storm into an area, a new area, like Poland or Eastern Germany, they go there now and they uncover these pits with 35,000 bodies in them, 50,000 bodies all over East Germany. You don't read about it in the newspaper, but you talk to the Germans or read their newspapers or read squibs of it, that's what's happening. These death pits, the killing frenzy, when they storm in, that's what they do. When they come in quietly and they have to eliminate one at a time, you get your Kirks and your Carls and a gentleman up on top of the mountain, one at a time. That's what they do. Our law says not to tax. When wolves take over, they tax. Our law says, you are not to make an Israelite a slave. That's what the law says. And every day the janissaries bring people before them on all sorts of charges, misdemeanor charges, and they raise the hammer, and they lower the hammer, and they take a person and they put him into slavery, and the slave camps grow. And what's the penalty for making a slave out of an Israelite? What's the penalty for kidnapping a man and taking him away from the family? What are the two penalties of Israel according to the shepherd of Israel? There are only two penalties. You either make restitution, or if you steal a car, they catch you with it, you pay back two cars. You steal a car and wrap it around a telephone pole, four cars. If you take a Rolls Royce and wrap that around a telephone pole, five cars. And if you don't have the money to pay for it, you work it off. And if you run, you die. And if you can't make restitution, if you murder someone, if you premeditated murder, you kidnap, you rape, there's no restitution that can be made. What is the penalty? And what do these judges or janissaries do every day? They raise the hammer and lower the hammer. Do they dispense law, sheep law, or do they dispense wolf law? Do they kidnap? It's time for us, when somebody does something, say what they're doing. Gordon Carl, they killed him for objecting to taxes. Kirk, they killed him for objecting to turning loose his land that's never to be forever. This man up on the mountain, they're trying to kill him because a false witness has identified him. Know what you're talking about and know what the law is and hold the law up. This is the law that they are breaking, because it makes all the difference in the world. And exactly how many minutes do I have right now? I got 3 minutes. I'll tell you the story about Little Red Riding Hood. Once upon a time, in a big, deep forest, there lived a grandmama. And she had a real nice home. Little Red Riding Hood wanted to see her grandmama. So she took a box of goodies, a little basket of goodies, to see her, go see her grandmama. Now, on the way, she met a wolf. And the wolf let her go on past. And she found out, the wolf found out where Little Red Riding was going. The wolf went there, went to the little cottage in the woods, and opened the door, and the wolf knocked and said, "I'm Little Red Riding Hood." And when Grandmama opened the door, he gobbled up Little Red Riding Hood's grandmama, see? And then the wolf got in the bed and put on a nightcap, see? Now, when Little Red Riding Hood got there, she went in to see Grandmama. And she said, "Oh, Grandmama, what a big nose you have." And he said, "Grandmama, what long teeth you have." And about that time, the woodsman found out that Little Red Riding Hood was in the cabin with the big bad wolf. So he ran in there with his axe, and he chopped the wolf open, and Grandmama sprang out. Now, isn't that a nice story? That is a wonderful bedtime story for sheep. It is a reoccurring nightmare to wolves. The enemy is eager to destroy all who call upon the name of the Lord, for they know that when Israel shall repent, their days will be numbered. Thank you.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peter, LaPorte Church Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch, where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week, and hopes you will too.